Amen. Thank you, brother. Aren't you glad Jesus took those stripes? Praise God. Amen. Well, I was going to sing that this morning myself, but Brother Bert wouldn't let me. Well, the pastor has asked Brother Awesome Waddy to come bring the message for us this morning. Come on, Brother Awesome Waddy.
Awful rude to try to hook this up during the special, so I thought I'll wait until I get up there so I won't make a scene, you know? All right, so far so good, right? All right. Well, I do appreciate the opportunity to be up here this morning, and it's I had pastored for a number of years and never really got tired of preaching, but you know, you do it every time, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and always involved in doing something at a nursing home or a jail or a rescue mission or anything like that, and you preach a lot, and so I serve in the ministry here and stay busy, but around here I get to, you know, I can, unless I'm driving the bus, I get to preach on the bus and preach at the Village every once in a while, and still around here we go to the Lighthouse Mission, and usually Brother Nixon preaches there, but every once in a while, if he hasn't made it, I find opportunities just to not get too rusty in it, and we'll find out this morning how rusty I might still be. But we're going to be in Luke chapter 6, if you want to start there. In Luke chapter 6, I'll have a couple of different, main passage in the book of 1 John. But first, we'll just go ahead and go to Luke chapter 6. You'll have plenty of time to get where you need to be in Luke chapter 6. And I'm going to start reading in verse number 27. And I'll read maybe about 10 verses or so. But not necessarily at all a holiday weekend themed message. Sometimes I do that, sometimes I don't. I used to always say that I didn't want Hallmark card to tell me what I was supposed to preach about, you know, and we tend to do that. I mean, it's just like, oh, it's 4th of July weekend. I got to preach something patriotic. Oh, it's Mother's Day. You know, my wife will slap me if I preach about, you know, salvation doctrine or something today, you know. And I used to always say that. I resisted trying to just felt like I was constricted to finding a topic that was going to be appropriate for that season. And more often than not, probably 95% of the time, I'd end up preaching something that was, you know, theme-based anyway for whatever the holiday or the season was. But today I really am just going to preach something that's just a real simple truth out of the Bible. It's probably not going to be anything real punchy or anything real earth-shattering, maybe not even something that you can jot a few notes down. But I think if you listen, I think there will be maybe just a couple of things that might be said that could be helpful to you. And it's something that I've just kind of had on my mind probably just for my own reasons more often than I should. And, you know, it's just being Christ-like. But what I'm going to do, I'll tell you the title of it in just a second, but Luke chapter 6 and verse 27, and I'm going to read through verse number 36, and then when I'm done reading those verses, I'm going to say, ouch, and then I'm going to pray, and then I intend to preach on the subject, that golden rule thing. You know, that pesky little golden rule thing that every once in a while God reminds us of. So that golden rule thing will be the title of the message this morning. Luke chapter 6. In verse number 27 is where I'll begin. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you. It's pretty easy so far, isn't it? Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Verse 29, and unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other, and him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Verse 32, for if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. Verse 35, but love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Verse 36, be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Especially after the first couple verses, I'll read those again, verse 27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. I'll now say ouch, because that hurts, and then I'll go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we'll see what God does this morning. Lord, we do love you, and we thank you for Landmark Baptist Church. What a tremendous place for so many, many years, for decades, in this same basic spot, in this behind the same pulpit, in this same location for many, many years, and Pastor Carter's leadership and his walk with you and his surrender and yield to your will and your power, and that's just been a great testimony of what you can do, and we just thank you so much for that. I pray that you'd be with our pastor as he is traveling, as he's been preaching out of state, and I pray that you'd be with the others who have been traveling for various reasons. I just pray that you'd continue to give safety, and I just pray now that during this hour that we will hear something that will challenge us and encourage us, inspire us. If we had one prayer this morning, it would be that you would be pleased. We want to, by our listening and by the preaching and by our response to it, by our heart, by our attitude, by our thought, by our motives, we want you to be pleased. And so if we can accomplish that this morning, we will be pleased as well. We want to do unto you as you do unto us. And that's a pretty tall order, because you have been so good to us in our lives. Thank you for everything that you've done to prepare us for the message this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to preach to you this morning on this subject, that golden rule thing. I could have just called it the golden rule, but if you Google that, you'd find a whole bunch of it. And who else has used the title, that golden rule thing? But that's just what it sounds like to me. You think sometimes about a little cliches and just little terms that we use, and a lot of times we just kind of forget the meaning of them. It's real easy to separate them and detach them from what we actually do in our lives. And so often we say things so carelessly and so flippantly, we don't really even think about what we're saying. That can happen when we're singing. That can happen when we're teaching. That can happen even within our homes as we're having conversations. Even saying I love you to your wife or your husband or to your kids, it can get to the point where we get so familiar with it and so cold to it, it loses the purity of the meaning of it. And so this term, the golden rule, it's funny. When I had a guy come up to me one time, and we were going to be doing a funeral for him, and not the guy that died had me. It was before he died. He had actually asked me this, but no, this guy was I was going to be doing part of a funeral with him, and he said, hey, where's that verse that says ashes to ashes and dust to dust? And I said, well, the Bible doesn't actually word it that way. It does say that, you know, dust thou art and to dust thou shalt return and things, but it doesn't really say ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Oh, I know it does. And I've heard that several times, over and over again. People come up and say, hey, where do you find that? Where's that thing in the Bible? And I'll say, that wasn't in the Bible. That was Shakespeare that said that, you know, or that was, you know, Paul Harvey or something. You know, you heard it, but that is not a quote from the Bible. And if you went to a word search thing in the Bible and typed in the words do unto others, trying to find the golden rule, or the Google rule, trying to find a golden rule, it would say, quote, do unto others, end quote, is not found in the King James Bible. And I was like, yes, it is. That's a golden rule. I must have a bad program, or I'll try another one. And so I think, well, the rest of the verse says, as ye would have them do unto you. So if you search as ye would have them, it says that phrase isn't found anywhere in the Bible either. And it's true. The Bible does not actually, I mean, we say, if I asked you what's the golden rule, or if you ask me what is the golden rule, most of us would say, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, or as ye would have them unto do, as you'd suppose the King James would say. You know, do unto others as you'd have them to do. And I'm not saying that that's not a good thing to live. I'm not saying that isn't a good truth. But the Bible does not word it that way. The Bible does not say the golden rule is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The phrase the golden rule is not in the Bible. It doesn't mean that it's not a good thing, but it's not a Bible term. And I'll be honest with you, I was curious where it came from. And I did a little bit of checking. Now, the closest that we can come to it, I'm just going to read this verse. Don't turn here. But Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12 says, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. That kind of says, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And then in our text this morning, in verse number 31, it said, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. And so that is a truth. There is nothing wrong with saying, treat other people the way you want them to treat you. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That is a godly thing. That is a Christ-like thing. That's a very good rule. It's a very good goal to have. And so I was just curious, where did that come from? Where did that golden rule thing actually ever come from? And the best that I could find without a whole lot of a lot of time invested in the research, there was a Catholic catechism probably 300-400 years ago, and it had something that said pretty close to what we call the golden rule, and it called it, this is the golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. So again, it doesn't detract at all from the beauty of that truth and the importance of it in our lives. How different would we live our lives if we treated other people the way that we would want them to treat us? That was something that Jesus thought was important enough to include in this sermon that he was preaching. Among all the other things he said, you know, if my people are going to learn to treat each other the way they want to be treated. You know, the Bible does say that no man yet ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and careth for it. We don't, if I love my brother as myself, I'm not going to want to hurt him because that's going to hurt me. And of course, that goes within a church, it goes within a home or anything. But if you honestly, in honor, preferring one another, if I care more about you getting what you want and you getting your way and your life being good than I care about my life being good and me getting my way and everything, I'm going to have a completely different mindset than I had when I was born. I'm going to have a completely different mindset if I become like the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon him the form of a servant and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It's Christ-like to care more about somebody else than to care about yourself. Now, we would say, well, those people over there, yeah, but you're not God. If the whole point is, and I'll repeat this verse a time or two later, but Ephesians 4:32 says, but be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Here's the point. If one sinner wrongs another sinner, and one of those sinners says, you know what, I've sinned against you before. I've had bad thoughts about you before. There have been times I didn't care much about you, but you're asking me to forgive you. I'll go ahead and forgive you. That's a pretty big deal for somebody to forgive somebody else. But what about forgiving somebody that you never sinned against? When somebody comes up to you and slaps you in the face and says, do you forgive me? You know, and then they ask you to forgive them. You know, would you forgive me for being so stupid? And I would say, well, this is just pretending, but I would say, I've never been stupid. You know, I'm not stupid. I never did anything. You just walked up to me for no reason. Well, no, you didn't. I know you've been spreading lies about me. But I honestly haven't. I know I haven't. Well, you know, yeah, I'll go ahead and forgive you for lying, too, if you'll forgive me for slapping in your face. And you know what I mean? It's just, how could you go up to God, who has never sinned against you. All he's ever done for you is loved you, cared about you, and forgave you when you sinned against him. If God can forgive me for sinning against him, why is it harder for me to forgive you when you sin against me? It'd be an awful lot easier if we want to be, we sing that song, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask, to be like him. And that's just another one of those cliches sometimes. Do we really want to be like Jesus? Does it show in the way we live? Am I actually, when you look at me, do you say, hey, there's somebody who's different than other people. He kind of lives, what is that? I know what it is. He lives like Jesus. You would really stand out in a crowd if you started living like Jesus. So wherever that term, the golden rule, came from, I do think it's a good term. It's a good truth. In verse 32 and 33 here, it says, if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? It's not a big deal to be nice to somebody who's being nice to you. The lost people, the world people, wicked people, they're okay with being nice to people who are being good to them. A lot of times it's because of the advantage that those people can be to them. So the next verse says, verse 34, if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. And another place it says, even with usury. You know, I'll lend you something if I'm going to get something back, especially if I get a little bit of something extra out of the deal. That anybody will do that. Most people would do that. But it takes something. If you love your enemies and you, one of the biggest tests of character is how you treat people who can't do anything back for you in return. You know, when you have an opportunity, hey, here's one of my bus kids that I promised I was going to take fishing. But I have an opportunity to go to a preaching conference where I can get to rub shoulders with somebody who's going to think I'm a hot shot. You know, that's why it took a month to take the poor kid fishing, because I had all that stuff going on. But we do tend to be selfish people by nature. We think that everybody's okay as long as nobody's messing with us. Now, here's just another good thought to me. We are more concerned about mistreatment when we are the one being mistreated. Right. When you can see someone else getting a raw deal and not get upset about it. And especially if it's somebody that you don't like anyway. You know what I mean? And that's wrong. When was the last time you marched into your boss's office and said, okay, I got a bone to pick with you. This just isn't right. This is wrong. This isn't fair. I can't believe you did this. What? What's going on? You gave me a raise and you didn't give that other guy a raise. I mean, I've been working here longer than he has, but I mean, that's just not fair. Why did you mistreat him like that? You know, it doesn't bother us. If we get a raise we didn't deserve, then who cares? You know, somebody else is going to get upset about it because they're jealous. That's their problem. But when we it's not injustice and it's not wrongdoing that hurts us and upsets us so much. What upsets us is when it's directed towards us. If you really cared about equity, if you really cared about judgment, if you really cared about justice, if you really cared about how other people get treated, it would bother you just as much when anybody else got mistreated. And if you really want to show some Christianity, see how you act when somebody you don't like gets a raw deal. Man, I don't know why he had a flat tire, but if it had to happen to anybody, I'm glad it was him. No, really, if having a flat tire is a bad thing when it happens to you, then you ought to care that way about anybody else that has a flat tire. If it's one of your friends, okay, we'd understand. Even lost people might stop and help one of their friends who's broke down. But what would you do if somebody who has just got done stabbing you in the back has a problem, has a need, gets sick? Would you go visit them in the hospital? And see, that's that golden rule thing. If you were in a hospital, you'd want somebody to visit you. If you were broke down on the side of the road, you would hope that somebody would want to come by and help you. If you were in a place where you were falsely accused of something, you would want somebody to come and stand beside you and be your advocate and stand up for you. But because it didn't happen to you, we're not as passionate about trying to solve a problem that isn't directly our problem. And that golden rule thing will cause us to have the same attitude about anybody else who is going through a hard time. It's a pretty rotten Christian that won't even pray for somebody that's struggling with something. Somebody loses their job. Somebody has a vehicle breakdown. Somebody has a house fire. Somebody gets a disease. And we're like, well, I'm not going to pray for them after the way they treated me. You know what I'm saying? That's why I said ouch before I even started all this. Just reading those verses was enough to kind of start moving that knife around a little bit inside of me. I tend, and I should, to get more upset with my angry, hateful, wrong response to being mistreated than I am about the mistreatment itself or the people who have mistreated me. I don't want to give anybody else that much power in my life. If you can come up to me and mistreat me, and the only thing I'm going to be angry about is that I got mistreated, you know what? That just opens me up to anybody who doesn't like me to want to make my life miserable. Hey, I just found Bob's button. I'll just go push that button, and he's going to get all bent out of shape. You know, but what we ought to do, if we're like Christ, if we're treating other people the way we want to be treated, if I mistreat somebody else and they came back and they were kind to me in return, it would blow me away. It would change my attitude toward them. It may even soften my heart. They may have been wrong. They may have been the ones who were idiots to start with, or I may be able to entertain the possibility that maybe I had a little bit of something. Maybe it was a misunderstanding. But when somebody can forgive someone who wrongs them, that in itself is a Christ-like thing. And when I get to a place in my life where somebody, it was a misunderstanding. I didn't know. I thought something that had happened, and man, it was wrong, and I went up and I just laid into somebody, and then I just really felt like a heel once all the facts came out. Why don't you back up a step from that? And when you hear about something like that, why don't you say, well, what would I want to do if I were that person? How would I want to be treated? I'd want somebody to come and sit down with me and have a reasonable conversation about it and try to work it out with me before they started getting on the phone telling everybody about it. You know, I'm just saying that this is a type of Christianity that we don't say much about because it's so bottom shelf. This is the kind of stuff that you're going to deal with this afternoon. This is the kind of stuff that you may be in turmoil right now because you have allowed somebody else to lie about you, or you thought they did. Maybe they did, maybe not. But you're all tied up in knots this morning because you care more about yourself than you do about other people. Your mind is, if everybody treats me okay, then the world is great. You know, my golden rule is, do unto me as I would have everybody do unto me. That's not going to happen. That's not the way it works. You know, if the next best thing is to do it God's way and say, look, if you treat people the way you want to be treated, I can take care of all the rest of it. There are things that may be that I put you on this earth to solve certain problems, but probably not most of the ones you think you're here to, like your purpose for living on this earth is to solve all these problems of everybody not treating you right. It may just not be that's why I created you. It may just be that I've got something I want you to do, and there are certain things that you should let me do. Circumstances that involve and affect us personally can cause us just to not think straight. I mean, I'm not saying this is a wrong, bad thing you should be ashamed of. It's just a fact. When there are circumstances, matters, issues, events in your life you just can't shake them, that they involve you, they affect you. When that kind of thing happens, you just don't know how to handle it. What happens is we're not thinking straight. Most of the times in our life, when we have the most important decisions we need to make are during the times when we're not thinking straight. Oh man, I'm so upset right now, I could kill somebody. It's probably not the good time to decide whether or not you want to kill somebody. You know, if I find that guy, I'm going to tear him apart. Okay, well, you know, Go take a chill pill and then, you know, pray about it. And then maybe you might decide not to tear them apart. It might make your life a lot easier in the long term. You don't have to go to prison for it, you know. And they may deserve it, but let somebody else do it. See, you, I don't know, maybe you could pay a hitman or something like that. I haven't studied it that far. But you should want to treat other people the way you want them to treat you. All right? We need to remember the pure golden rule during these times when circumstances in our lives affect us and we're not thinking straight. That's when we need to remember, how should I handle this? You should handle it the way you'd want them to handle it if your situations were reversed. You would want them to come to you and kindly. Now you say, Brother Bob, I know what you're saying, but it's just not reality. It's just not realistic. I've tried this with these people before and it just makes it worse. Well, this isn't something that we're doing to see whether or not it works. This is something that God said we're supposed to do, right? We want to lash out and take matters into our own hands. Whenever you want to take it into your own hands, that is probably the best time to put it into God's hands. And I'll say that again. We want to lash out and take matters into our own hands. That is the best time to put them into God's hands. When you want to say, I got to solve this, I want to take care of this, that's probably a good little trigger for you to say, yeah, God, I'm probably not in a position right now where I should be handling this. Let me let you handle it. Now, here's it. Now, man, I need a Band-Aid already before I say this next thing. Well, I'll say something nice first. I just jotted this down. I'm not sure why. I said, don't talk too much about your problems to people who can't fix them. You know how dangerous that is? We tend to get a group of people that we're comfortable with, that we trust, that we have confidence in. And when we start having issues with people in our world, we want to talk to them. And sometimes it's good to have somebody to vent to. I've been on both ends of that. But long term, that's not going to be a good solution if they are not the ones who are in a position to solve the problem or fix it. Usually what happens is what you end up is it ends up turning into something destructive. It ends up turning into gossip. It turns into more misunderstandings. And it turns up into something that's bad. And here's something else. I said, don't talk too much about your problems to people who can't fix them. And if there are no people who can fix them, then you just have to give it to God. All right? Now here's the ouch. Do you know why God knows how to treat people who hurt him? See, I can say, God, somebody is hurting me. I've tried the golden rule thing. I've tried to treat them the way I want to be treated, and it just seemed to have made it worse. And I've tried talking to other people about it, and it just makes me madder, and it makes everybody I tell madder, but it doesn't fix him. And so all I have left to do now is, Lord, I just need to give this to you. This is a situation that you know what's going on, and I don't. I don't like it. I don't know what I'm going to do next. It's making me miserable. I'm going to give it to you. Because you know where he got his experience that he can tell me how I'm supposed to treat somebody who's hurting me? He learned that from me when I hurt him. And I learned how he treated me when I hurt him. And that's the way that I'm supposed to treat other people. Now, I don't think he wanted to be crucified. I don't think he's like, I got a great idea. I'll create somebody and they'll sin against me and then I'll be able to get to suffer. I'm not sure that was the initial thing that started all of it. I think it was just our own sin that did that to him. But I'm going to take you now to 1 John chapter 3. If you got a few more minutes, let's do this. 1 John chapter 3, and this may seem like a little bit of a supplemental Bible study to this, but I told you it wasn't going to be anything real earth-shattering this morning, but I like it so far. Except the parts I hurt real bad. 1 John chapter 3, I'm going to have to buzz through this really quick, but this is just, maybe you could just call this a little Bible study about what I just said. If I can just recap a little bit what I said, I was talking about the golden rule. I was talking about treating other people the way we want to be treated. And then I just said, in reality, if it worked every single time that somebody came in and they were just, they were lying and being scandalous in your life, and you just went to them, gave them a hug, and then the problems went away, you know, that would be a great time to close the service. But you, hopefully, if you're anything like me, it just doesn't always seem to work out that way. And when I have that thought, if the answer is treating other people the way I want them to be treated, do unto them even as I would that they do unto me. If that's what I do, why doesn't that work? Part of the reason it doesn't work maybe is because I'm not doing it the same way God taught me how to do it. He got his experience in dealing with jerks from me. I was the one who caused his suffering on the cross. So real quickly, verse number 1, 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. We're called his sons because we are like him. Somebody just this morning, we were sitting up in the choir and we were shaking hands, and somebody said that I look like my son and my son looks like me. Now I apologize for that, but that's what somebody else said. But you know why people think that we are like God? Because we look like him and we act like him. And with God, that's a good thing. If I were your father, it would really be a bad thing. But if God's your father, that's a good thing. And they don't like us. They don't know us because it doesn't like him and it doesn't know him. They don't like us when we look like God because they're looking at God and they don't like him. Verse number 2, behold, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So we found out in verse 1 that the world doesn't like us because we're like God. And someday we're going to be totally like God. Someday we're going to wake up in his likeness. We're going to be sinless like he is. And verse number 3, it says, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. So the world doesn't like us because we look like God. Someday we're going to be even more like God than we are now. And because of that, I want to work as hard as I can to purify myself so that I can become more pure because he is pure. Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. So that's where we are so far. The next few verses, all the way down to verse 9, I won't read them, but they basically just talk about what happens if we don't do that, if we don't purify self as his children, if we still allow sin in our lives, it's very destructive. Now look at verse number 10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of devil. How do you tell them apart? Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Verse number 11, for this is the message that we heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. So the test of whether we are like God is whether we do righteousness and love our brother. Now verse number 12, this is interesting. Love your brother as yourself. Don't be like Cain, who killed his brother. Well, how was Abel supposed to love Cain when Cain was the one who killed him? And that's what put in my mind when I was thinking about this. That is exactly the situation. How do you love somebody who literally is killing you? The time they're killing you, you love them. Now, there's so many more directions we can go from that, but that's what this verse says. You're supposed to love somebody, even, you know, you get messed up, and, you know, you should love one another. Verse 12, not like Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brothers were righteous. The more you're like God, the more the world isn't going to like you. And so that should motivate you to be more like God. And when you're more like God, you'll be more loving to the people who are trying to hurt you. It becomes a vicious circle. And when you get to the point like I am right now at this point in the sermon where I say, okay, I kind of get what you're saying, but I don't know what to do about it. I want to love everybody the way God loved me. I mean, do unto others as ye would have them do unto you. How do I want Jesus to treat me? I can already answer that question because he's already treated me perfectly. And that's the way that I should treat my brother. That's what I should do unto others as I would have them do unto you. When I say, how do you love someone who kills you? I would say, why don't you ask Jesus how he loves you? Let me read you a couple of verses in Romans chapter 5. In verse 7, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Who do you think we were sinning against? We were sinning against Christ, and Christ died for us. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." You want to understand that golden rule thing? The best place to start is you look in the face of Jesus and say, "Jesus, how did you treat me when I sinned against you? I want to do unto you, Lord, as I want you to do unto me." You don't want God to send you to hell, and he won't unless you don't believe his promise of saving you if you ask him, and trusting in what he provided for you when he became sin for you and died on that cross. I'm going to turn that the other way. I just said, I want to do unto Jesus as he did unto me. Well, what do you think Jesus wants me to do unto him? Well, he tells us that. In 1 John chapter 3, right where you are, go down to verse number 23. This is what he wants from us. When we say, "Lord, I want you to do unto me as I want to do unto you. I want to do unto you as you did unto me." So what does he want in return? When he looks at me and says, "Bob, I want to do unto you as you've done unto me," what would that be? What would it be that his desire would be? If he's going to treat me the way I want me to treat him, then how is it that he wants me to treat him? It's in verse 23. "This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave his commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." Christ was very kind and thoughtful to us when we were not being very nice at all to him. If we could realize that he did that for us, Ephesians 5:32, I quoted it earlier, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." If he could do that for us, we should be able to do that for others. We may have some things to patch up with some people. That's what I'm getting at. We may be here this morning, and if all I said was blah, 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 you know, "Here's the golden rule, here's the Bible, here's a couple of verses, let's go through the motions and do what we got to do, and we'll go home and get some chicken." But if God put something in your heart this morning that said, "You know, that golden rule thing really is something that I'm not sure I'm real good at right now. I mean, I don't know that I hate anybody, but I've had some things in my heart against people who have mistreated me, and I realize how selfish, I realize how ungodly, how unchristlike it is for me to care so much about myself that I'm not going to treat other people the way I wish they would treat me." And the only way we can know how we're supposed to treat each other is to see how the Lord treats us when we're bad against him. And I'll say it again, it may just be the invitation to this morning, might just be that some people may just have some things to patch up with some other people. You may not be able to talk to them here. You may have to call them later. But maybe we should just decide this morning in our hearts, "Lord, I want to do this golden rule thing that we've talked about this morning. I want to treat others as a Christian the way Christians ought to treat others. I ought to quit taking so much into my own hands trying to solve all my own problems. I want to let you do your job with that." And I'll just say this in closing. If you're here this morning and you've never been saved, if we do unto Jesus as we would have him do unto us, we'll obey him and we'll be saved. If you're here this morning and you know that you're a Christian, you know that you're saved, your name's written in heaven, you're all settled for that, that'll get you into heaven. But that doesn't necessarily have to give you a happy, successful Christian life. There's a lot of backslidden Christians, and I just don't want to be one of them. I want to be Christ-like. I want to live this golden rule that we talked about this morning. If I were a Christian here this morning, and I am, and what I'm doing right now in my heart is I'm saying, "Search me, O God, and know my thoughts, and try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. I want him to cleanse me. I want him to search me. I want him to know me. I want him to fix me. I want him to change me. I want him to transform me into his likeness and his image. If I were here this morning and I were not saved, and that's not my testimony anymore, but if I were here this morning and I did not know for sure that if I died this afternoon, if I didn't know for sure that I already have a home in heaven prepared for me where the saints abide just over in a glory land, I would say, you know what, I know that I sinned against God. Never thought about it this way before. I sinned against God and he loved me. He loved you so much. He not only forgave you for that sin, but in order to forgive you, he had to become that sin. And he had to pay the penalty of torment for that sin that you deserved. He took that upon himself, and all he does, and somebody can take a Bible and explain to you this morning pretty quickly and pretty clearly, not what the Baptists say, but what the Bible says, what Jesus did for you so that that can be yours. You can claim that gift this morning of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord if you'd let somebody do that. Lord, I pray that you'd bless the message this morning. I just thank you for what you've done, and I just pray that you would take these simple words, the great words, the ones that came from the Bible, and maybe some of the thoughts that you gave, maybe some of the thoughts that you put into the hearts of some of the dear people here this morning. I just pray that maybe you can be a little bit more pleased and glorified this morning because of something that's happened in my heart this morning, and perhaps to invite someone else to ask you to do something in their heart in Jesus' name.
You'll stand with me with your heads bowed for just a moment. We're going to ask the folks to play for us, and we're going to have an altar call. And if you'd like to give your life to Christ this morning, come on down, and we'll have somebody take a Bible and show you how you can know Jesus.